pretty significant day if your name is Le'Veon Bell. We're just about 20 minutes away from his deadline. Just what's the latest? What are you anticipating to happen, and how does this all play out?
Well, unless he has a very, very last second reversal of fortune here and signs that contract in the next 15 minutes and faxes it into the NFL Management Council and the Steelers, then he won't be playing football at all this season. He will have forfeited the entirety of that $14.5 million franchise tag. He will be ineligible to play for any NFL team this season. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, I continue to hear, and I've been reporting this for weeks, will put a transition tag on him in 2019. They'll claim that he should be transitioned at the basically at the number that any running back would be transitioned at, since he didn't play last season and had zero salary. The NFLPA will counter that he should be transitioned at 20% raise off of his last actual salary, the $12.2 million that he played for in 2017, which brings us back to $14.5 million that he would have made this year. He'll have the ability to go out there and market his wares to other teams and see what kind of offer sheet he can put together. And then once he signs that offer sheet, the Steelers will have a week to match it. I'm not sure he's going to do nearly as well as he thinks he will. I think there'll be trepidation among some NFL executives about his health, about the wear and tear, about how he'll respond a year later, about, you know, his decision this year, and he's been suspended in the past. But it only takes one team to, you know, blow the Steelers out of the water, and because Connor has emerged and, you know, because they have some other guys they want to take care of, the odds are that if somebody put, you know, $30 million guaranteed in front of him, then the Steelers would walk away, but they at least would have – they want to control the asset, and by transitioning him, they do control the asset.
Will there be any type of fight or pushback if the Steelers do go down that road with the transition tag?
Well, they can't fight their ability to use it. I mean, the CBA is pretty clear that they can use it. The fight will be over the value of it, and that will be decided by an arbitrator in all likelihood. You know, nothing will be done hypothetically. So there won't be a grievance to determine what he should make until he is tagged. So they'll tag him when that period opens in February, and then sometime in March, around when the league year starts, there'll be a determination made about what the figure actually is. And again, we'll see, you know, we'll see what is really out there for him. Do the Jets or the Ravens or the Patriots or, you know, the Raiders, does somebody who you could make the case need I wouldn't say not the Patriots because Sony Michel's come on now. You know, some team that the Tampa Bay Bucks that lacks some sizzle on offense and could use a playmaker and a running back, does somebody put something in front of him that he's willing to sign and that the Steelers are willing to walk away from?
There's been a lot of talk and a lot of debate about whether or not Bell is doing the right thing for his career. Obviously, he believes he is. But how much risk is involved here for him from a career standpoint, and how much upside is there potentially for him?
We're going to find out in March. You know, look, if the best case for him is playing 1 year for $15 million and then trying to relaunch himself in a situation where he can make, you know, $35, $40 million guaranteed, you know, $40. I mean, he had a chance in the Steelers contract to make $48 million over the first 3 years of that deal. I don't know that that's going to exist for him on the open market, but you could also make the case, well, you know, only $22 million of that was guaranteed, and what if he blew out his knee, you know, or broke it, whatever, suffered a career derailing injury in year one of that contract, and then all he gets is 22 and not 48. I mean, you can have the philosophical argument any way you want. Clearly, he felt like the injury risk was so high that he wants to get a chance to get a long-term deal somewhere. Once he's transitioned, he's going to have the ability to get a long-term offer from any team that wants to do so, and they'll have to be strategic, he and his agent, about which offer sheet they sign. I assume there'll be more than one team interested, but I also don't think there's going to be like 6, 8, 10 teams willing to pay him $15 million a year. I just don't see it. And at least the Steelers are willing to find out. they're willing to see, let's just see who was right here. Let's see if his best option is coming back to us for 14-5.
And in terms of the, because I know one of the big benefits a lot of people have pointed to is him taking a lot of wear and tear off of his body and maybe extending the length of his career as such. We don't know because this has never really happened before. This isn't something that we have a textbook on. But how much do you buy into that potential?
I think there's – I don't know how you gauge that. I don't know how – I mean, one play can end it all. I, you know, it's very hard for me to think that, oh, well, now he's added X, Y, and Z number of carries to his career because he will have gone, you know, 18 months between getting hit for a living. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to the true guarantee that he gets on this offer sheet. And if he gets a true full guarantee that – obliterates what the Steelers had on the table. He could have made not just 14-5 this year, but had he taken the Steelers' second multi-year deadline offer, you know, the 2018 franchise tag deadline offer, he would have pocketed over $21 million this year alone. You know, is that out there for him? If it is, if somebody gives him, you know, even if they fully guarantee the first 2 years and pay him $15-16 a year, then you can make the case that it's worth it. He's going to walk with 32, and he made his stand, and even if he gets hurt, he's got that kind of security. But if there's less than $21 million fully guaranteed in the first year of that contract, then he's kind of right back where he was before, a year older. You don't get faster. I mean, you just don't. You know, as you age, you tend to slow down, and the very nature of the collision sport they play – you know, there's only so much you can do to try to prevent future injury. It's not really a controllable, manageable entity.
Yeah. Well, and I think because it is such a new scenario and an unprecedented scenario and one that we don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know. I mean, it's not like this is all of a sudden a blueprint for a lot of other players. This is a pretty unique situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know. Most guys, with rare exception, are not happy about the franchise tag because it precludes their ability to get a long-term deal in real time. But they generally, at the end of the day, say, I'll take that $14 million guaranteed, $18 million guaranteed, you know, in the case of Cousins a couple years ago, $24 million guaranteed or whatever, and weigh the risks and play it out. I mean, will other players do this? Probably at some point, but I don't think it'll become the norm, because again, the cap's going to keep going up, which means the franchise tags are going to keep going up, which means it's increasingly more money to walk away from.